Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 this morning, and let me preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "As his divine power has given to us all things," everybody underline that in your Bible, "all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge." You see that? How did it come? Through knowing. So when you hear the gospel is supposed to show you what you got. Did you hear that? How did you get all things? By knowledge. The more you know, the more you'll possess. Talk to me, somebody. Anybody has a wife that is always asking questions? I'll leave it there. You know why they ask questions? Because they want to have knowledge. And knowledge gives them power. Everybody say knowledge gives you power. And that's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that through God's divine power, he has given you everything, but you don't know until you get. You got to get knowledge. You got to get understanding of what God's given to you. Did you see that? And look at this. Man, I haven't even finished the scripture yet. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about a powerful truth that many believers have struggled with over time. I have struggled with it, and perhaps you have struggled with it. And I pray this morning that the struggle will be over. Amen. So what is it that I want to talk to you about this morning? Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about the difference between waiting on God to turn things around in your life and standing firm on what he has already done. How many of you want God to turn some stuff around in your life? Don't lift your hands. Don't lift your hands, because that hand is not going to go up later. Because the way it is, you should have got a hint from the title. God, many of us want God to turn things around. And then there's some of us who understand that we need to stand firm in what he has already done. I don't know which camp you're in this morning, but I'm hoping you're going to get on my side. So let me tell you a very interesting thing that I do, that I've been doing since I discovered the Bible. I actually listen to people's prayers. I listen to when you pray all the time. I listen to all of your prayers. When you come up here, when you're praying in a group, I listen to your prayers. And why do I listen to how you pray? Because you cannot lie when you pray. Go ahead, try praying and lie to God. Try it. Somebody, please try it. God, I didn't lie today. Really? Nobody can lie when they pray. Your conscience would not allow you to do that. You can lie to your husband, lie to your kids, lie to your work, but you're sick. You're not sick. You just want to go Black Friday shopping. Hallelujah. I'm not feeling well. It's like your boss doesn't know it's Black Friday. Please, really. Listen to me, folks. I listen to people's prayer. You see, prayer is one of the greatest disciplines in the Bible. Jesus said in Luke 18, he says, men ought to always do what? Pray. You should always be praying. And if you're not praying, something's wrong with you. Are you eating? If you're eating, then you should be praying. The Bible says you ought always to pray. I'm always praying. I don't pray in a formal setting. You don't see me praying in a formal setting in the sense that, you know, where I kneel, that I do at home in my time. Or maybe I lie on my bed and pray, or sometimes I'm praying in the shower. But I'm always praying. In fact, I'm a spiritual being. And so while I'm talking to you, I'm talking to God at the same time. Right now, I'm talking to God. I'm not talking to God so you can hear me. My spirit man is hearing God. I can hear in the spirit. I can talk in the spirit. Do you know God doesn't need my words when I pray? The Bible says he knows the intent of our hearts. Talk to me, somebody. You think prayer is just, Father, oh, I thank you, Jesus. No, the Bible says he knows the intent of your heart. He knows every thought. Hallelujah, brother. Thank you, whoever that is. So you ought always to pray. Now watch this. Let me give you three things that our prayers do. Look at this slide. Number one, our prayer reveals what's in our heart. These are the things I'm going to talk about. I just thought I'd throw the points out at you. Number two, it activates our faith. Number three, it releases the power of God. Hallelujah. These are three powerful things that prayer does. And if you're ever interested in activating your faith, and if you're ever interested in releasing the power of God, you need to learn how to pray. My job this morning is to teach you how to pray. Some of you don't pray. You ought to pray. You know, statistically, it says that most Christians pray about 3 to 5 minutes a day. Literally pray. I think that statistic's gone down because with all the busyness and all the problems people are having these days, they're not praying. They're worrying more than praying. So our prayers are a window into our soul. And that's why I listen to people when they pray. Because when I hear people pray, I get to hear what's in their heart. And so does God. Now, God knows your heart. But when you pray, your heart is revealed. Your prayer tells us and God what's deep in your soul, what things you are worried about, what things you're excited about, what things you're thankful about, what things that you want changed in your life, what things you hope that you will get, what's happening in the world. Your prayer tells us where your heart is. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel, the 15th chapter, it says the things that comes out of our mouth comes from our heart. Not just the bad stuff, our prayers too. Everybody say amen. When you open your mouth to pray, whether it's on the job or in the shower, hallelujah, when you open your mouth to pray, it tells us and it tells God what's on your heart. It's important to pray, church. And I don't know, maybe it's just to get it out. Everybody say, just get it out. I don't mind if you just pray just to get it out or get it off your chest. You know what I'm... How many of you have ever prayed just to get it off your chest? Like, some days I'm so frustrated. Some days the things that I hear, I'm like, oh I better pray for you. Because I can't slap you, so I'm going to pray for you. So I love prayer, and I think it's important to pray. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a gal by the name of Hannah. And she was barren, and the Bible tells us that how she had gone to the temple one day to pray. And when she had gone over to the temple, she obviously was very frustrated by the attacks she was getting and by the fact that she was barren and she couldn't produce and she couldn't have a good life. She was mocked. She was ridiculed because she was barren. And so as she had gone over to the temple, the Bible tells us that how she probably found herself a little corner. And like anybody who's going through some hard times, some criticism, some attacks on their life, she started to pray. And as she was praying, she was intensely praying. There are people who just pray, and then there are people who pray, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? You ever seen those people that pray? And then there are people who? Hoo-wee. Man, if I had a praying grandmother, I would have told you. But there are people who pray. And this gal was one of those people that? No, you didn't say it right. This gal was one of those people that? Prayed. She prayed to the Lord. And while she was praying, she's probably very animated. Hallelujah, Lord. Have you ever seen that? In our church, we got some of people who are very animated, brother. Woo, Jesus! You swear they're in an action movie. Mission Impossible 10. There's some people who pray, and I don't mind it because we have this gal. She was praying, and I don't know, but there's, you know, some people when they pray, they kind of walk around. And you know, I don't know about you, but I like to walk when I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. I take 10 steps before I say my next word. Jesus. Man, that Jesus lasts 4 rows. It just feels better when you drag his name out. Anyways, we grew up in that culture, so it's cool. But here's the thing. Hannah was very animated, and she was pouring her heart out. And the Bible says in verse 12, she was pouring out her soul to the Lord. And what was she doing? She was pouring out her soul to the Lord. And as you can imagine, as she poured her soul out to the Lord, Eli, the priest, saw her lips moving, and perhaps he saw her doing a little shake, rattle, and roll. And maybe he thought, you know what, this gal's got too much to drink. And it was kind of early in the morning, you know. So he was upset. So he comes to the woman, and he says to her, he says, in a very sincere voice, you can imagine, he was the priest. He's never seen this kind of stuff before like this. And he went to the woman, and he said to her respectfully, he says, you know, you, how long will you be drunk? What? And then he says, put away your wine, woman. I don't know if he was one of those preacher type guys. But Hannah responded to him. And look at verse 15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul. I want you to underline that before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. She's telling us where her passion came from. You know what I think Hannah's prayer was? Hannah's prayer was intimacy. Everybody say intimacy. Let me give you a great definition of intimacy that I've learned over the years. Intimacy. What is intimacy? So when you are intimate, you are saying into me. See, you usually in the natural, your clothes is usually off. But in the spirit realm, don't laugh, it's true. In the spirit realm, it means into me. See, so every time she used that word, I was crying out from my soul. So prayer then is into me, see God. Oh, God, this is what I'm troubled with today. This is what's upsetting me. This is what's got me ticked off. These are my needs. So she wasn't hiding her feelings, because you cannot lie when you learn something. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 5 tells us, give all your worries and cares to God, for he careth for you. It's important that the church learn how to become intimate with God. Every time I teach on prayer, I teach this. I got 1,000 ways I can teach you this secret. Prayer is intimacy. Everybody say, prayer is intimacy. It's where you bare yourself, your soul, before God. Have you had anything troubling you in life lately? You need to separate yourself from the world. Lock yourself in your prayer closet and say, Lord, into me, see. And you begin to show him what's in your soul, like Anna did. She began to show the Lord, Lord, I'm troubled. These people are bothering the snot and the living daylights out of me. I can't take it anymore. You need to bless me with a child. And if you bless me with a child, I promise, Lord, I'll give it back. I just need to shut them up. Anybody ever feel like that? I think I feel like that every day. But I just need to shut somebody up. It's okay to shut. Maybe it's just the devil you want to shut up too. I need to shut this devil up. So listen, if you want to shut some people up, shut yourself in. Talk to me, somebody. Say amen. I said, if you want to shut some people up, shut yourself in and shut up. Let God do some talking too, all right? Amen. After all, it is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. He does speak. Hello, somebody. And the second part of prayer I want to talk to you about this morning is the part that activates our faith. Hallelujah. This is the dimension of miracles and breakthroughs. The part that activates your faith. Prayer is not faith. You have to have faith when you pray. This is where the church lacks revelation. The church thinks every time you pray, you have faith. No. You have to have faith when you pray. You don't get faith from praying. Hello? You get faith from the Word of God. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by. It didn't say faith comes by praying. You misread it. Faith comes from where? Faith doesn't come from prayer. You should have faith before you pray so that when you pray, you can move mountains. So you need to match your prayer life with the Word. If you want to have a strong prayer life, you should be spending a lot of time in the Word. The more you know the Word, the better you'll pray. Watch, talk to me, somebody. This is the problem. I pray. Do you know the Word? No. Then what are you praying? Nonsense. When you know the Word, you can pray. You can pray like a champion. You can pray and move mountains. You can pray and get results. It's not prayer that gets results. Faith gets results. So when you pray, you need faith. Hello, somebody. You're very quiet this morning. You see a lot of this beggarly stuff that's happening in prayer. The reason you're begging is because you don't know the Word. The reason you're worried when you're praying, you're crying, and snot's coming down your nose, running into your mouth, down your cheeks. It's not the anointing, it's snot. And the reason you're behaving like that when you're praying is because you don't know the Word, and you're praying in fear. That's not prayer, that's fear talking. Most people, if you listen to their prayer, it's just a whole heap of fear. Oh, God. I'm worried about if Sariah is going to get a good husband. Oh, Lord. Nonsense. When you pray in fear, that means the Word is lacking. When you pray in faith, that means the Word is current and on fire inside of you. Don't just pray. Learn the Word. Somebody say, read the Word. Do you know the Word in your mouth brings breakthrough? Maybe, Dan, you can pop it up. Let's look at Joshua 1:8 for a minute. I didn't mean to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways because I'm on a roll. I had coffee and I'm feeling good. Thank you, Alice, for teaching me about coffee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Alice, but forever I'll be indebted to her. You look at what Joshua said here. Look at this. Joshua says, let this book of the law, everybody said a word. Everybody said a word. Talk to me, somebody. Say the word like you mean it. Look at this. And let this word never depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then, watch this, for then you're going to have a breakthrough. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you shall have a breakthrough. Not when you pray. When you know the word, you're going to have breakthroughs. It's all over the Bible. The Bible tells you how to get breakthroughs. You know why some of you are not seeing stuff happen? You're praying and you're not seeing nothing happen. In fact, you're praying and it's getting worse. You don't know the word. You spend more time on Netflix, more time on Facebook instead of your face in the book. Hallelujah. My God. I could stop here and go home, but I got to wreck your life. So hold on. Put on your seatbelt. I know I got you, but I got to get you. I got your attention, but I got to get your attention. Listen, when you pray, speak the word when you pray. Everybody speak the word. The word activates faith in your prayer. Write it down, please. You need to learn. What activates faith in your prayer? Okay, Lord, I need a financial breakthrough. Stop that silly prayer. Here's how you pray. Lord, your word says, and my God, and don't forget the Listen, that makes a big difference. The word of God activates your faith. So when you pray, pray the word. Everybody say, pray the word. Quote scripture to God. Tell God, you said in your word. And you cannot lie, God. And your word is yes and amen, God. And because your word is yes and amen, I believe it. And that's why I'm praying like it is finished. Did you know that Jesus himself prayed a word? I said Jesus prayed the word. Do you know how many times Jesus prayed a word? When he encountered the devil and all the harassment, what did he say? It is written. He prayed the word. You're thinking that Jesus just went into prayer and he closed his eyes and he fell asleep. Jesus was the word and he prayed the word. Hallelujah, somebody. Listen, my friend, I got to tell you something this morning. The word activates faith. You better get yourself familiar with the word. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now we often confuse spending time with God versus releasing the kingdom. So the next thing the word of God does, can we go back to slide 3? There you are. The third thing the word of God does, or prayer does, is that it releases power. What does prayer do? Prayer releases power. So we've learned that prayer reveals what's in our heart. Amen? We've learned that prayer mixed with the word activates faith. Now watch this. Pastor, are you almost done? No, this is my longest point. Prayer releases power. Everybody say prayer releases power. But how come when you're praying, power isn't being released? Good. Great question. We're going to answer it. Sometimes we think spending time with God gives us power. So the more time I spent with God, the more powerful I become. That's not true. Not true at all. Spending time with God is intimacy. Power, ladies and gentlemen, does not come by spending time with God. You might be thinking, well, if I prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to get power. I'm going to be charged up. I'm going to get so much power. I'll heal all the sick in the world. Have you ever heard the saying, there's power in prayer? Have you ever heard that saying? Thank you, Don. Have you ever heard that saying? There isn't. Stop. I'm going to throw some books out now. Prayer doesn't have power. Prayer releases power. Don't mistake the difference between earning power and releasing power. Hello, somebody. You can say ouch right about now. What if I were to tell you that this little cliche isn't correct? I was recently listening to a video on Catherine Kuhlman was preaching, and I like listening to the gal. She has a sense of humor, and I love it. And she said this, she said, the greatest power that God has given to any individual is the power of prayer. And I said, oh, that's where Benny gets it from. But that's not in the Bible. The statement is quite misleading. Prayer doesn't give us supernatural power. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall receive power. Where did power come from? The Holy Ghost. Anybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, anybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? Lift your hands and say, I've got the power. Good, you got it. Now that song is playing and everybody's here. You guys want to do the... Yeah. All right, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it before I show you guys my breakdancing skills and I break something. I'm just going... The Holy Spirit is the source of all miracles. He's the source of all supernatural power. He's the source of all breakthroughs. He's the source of all anointings. He's the source of every living thing on the earth. The Holy Spirit, not your prayer. Oh, I'm a good prayer warrior. Stop your nonsense. There's no such a thing in the Bible as a prayer warrior. None. There are no prayer warriors in the New Testament. In the New Testament, they are sons and daughters who carry the kingdom of God in them. Take me to the bank, take me to the bookstore, and you take me to those fake Christians, and I'm going to tear all their books up and take their money from them because they've been listening to lies. This is what happens when you don't know your Bible. You buy into cliches and think it's the gospel. Cliches are not the gospel. Pastor Tony doesn't have power from prayer. He got power when the Holy Ghost baptized him. Hallelujah. You all got power when the Holy Ghost baptized you. Hello, somebody. Say amen. The power to heal comes from the Holy Ghost. The power to be bold in ministry comes from the Holy Ghost. This is why Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us that when Jesus had gone down to the river to be baptized by his cousin John, that at the same time, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove, the image of a dove, came and rested upon him. Now, you have to understand something very important. Jesus was born in the Spirit, but he needed the Spirit. Did you hear what I said? Jesus was what? Born in the Spirit, but he needed the Spirit. You were born in the Spirit, and you need the Spirit. I shared that with you a couple weeks ago. So for 30 years, Jesus hid in a carpenter's shop until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Then after he received the power, The Bible says that's when he began his ministry. When did he begin his ministry? Good. Now let me ask you this silly question. Do you think that Jesus prayed in that 30 years? Absolutely he prayed. Not because it doesn't record it, it doesn't mean he did it. He did. He prayed for 30 years. He would have had to. He knew he was God in the flesh. He knew it. But he didn't have the power of God in the flesh, because the Bible says he emptied himself of all his glory and left it in heaven and became like one of us, so that he can demonstrate to us what we can do with the Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Watch this. So in Luke's gospel, maybe you can pull it up, Don. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Here's what Jesus said. He didn't say the prayer, I have the spirit of prayer. He said this, look at it. Luke chapter 4, verse 8, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has what? He has anointed me. He has put the unction to function on me. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What is he saying? He's saying all the miracles that I'm about to do came from the Holy Ghost. Not from prayer, because he prayed before and he couldn't do miracles. But now he's praying with the Holy Spirit, and now he's going to do miracles. This type of prayer is what we call the prayer of faith, or the prayer to release. So there's basically only two types of prayer in the New Testament: intimacy and release. Only two. I only believe in two. You can't show me more than two, I promise you. I've searched the scriptures. Intimacy could last you days and weeks and months and years. God bless you. Hope you eat. Release takes seconds, because it is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you power, not prayer. So you know that statement. Let's go back and debunk it this morning. There's power in prayer? No. Then everybody will go driving themselves into prayer. There's power in the Holy Spirit. You should be seeking the Holy Spirit when you pray. Did you hear what I said? When you pray, seek the Holy Spirit. Just don't pray. Some of you think your little religious liturgy type prayer is cool. It's not. It's a demise to the kingdom of God. You're wasting time. You're praying like an idiot. You're praying like these fools who have no God that cannot hear or eyes to see. Stop it. I know I'm speaking to you too who are watching me on YouTube. Take me to the bank, folks. Take me to the bank. The power to do miracles is given to every believer through the Holy Ghost. Could you write that down and believe it? Everybody say, I got the power to do miracles inside of me. Maybe what you don't have is you don't have the faith to release it. And maybe what you don't have is you don't have the confidence to release it. But you got it. Every one of you who is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you got power to release miracles. You can do some crazy things that you haven't seen yet. Did you hear me? Now, I believe prayer can give us revelation. Could you write that down? Prayer can give you what? Okay, good. Let me tell you a little bit about some of my prayer time with God. Many times when I'm praying, God has revealed to me some of the stupid things I do. I'm the only one that does stupid things? What? Wow, I'm so glad you guys are all so cool and everything. Anyways, Pastor Thomas, I talk to you because I want to. Many times I pray, and God would show me in my prayer time, because I'm intimate. And you know, when do you think Connie's going to talk to you most? Okay, I'll leave it there. Don't answer. Not when you're working. It's when you just decide to lie down in bed and you want to have yourself a good night's sleep. She comes and she cuddles up and she goes, Thomas, I just want to tell you this. And now all night you're sleeping with what she says in your head. This is what happens to me with the Holy Ghost. He cozies up to me. And while we're cozy and we're kind of doing our brotherly thing, you know, he talks. And he says, Asif, you know what you said over there? It's not right. Hey, stop it. Somebody throw this guy out of the church. Yo, take your man out of here, bro. I'm joking. And he talks to me and he says, you know what, Asif? Yeah, I know some of you think you need to be my prophet. No, my friend, I got a prophet living inside of me. You think the pastor that hears from God for other people doesn't hear from God for himself? You got to be kidding me. I'm just slow to react. Slow down. What did they put in that coffee today? Anyways, Thomas, let me tell you about it. So I'm praying, and all of a sudden, I'm experiencing deliverance from stupidity. Could you imagine while you're praying, you're being delivered from lies? You're being delivered from stuff in your life? You know why that is? Because when you pray, at some point of your prayer life, you will learn how to move from lethargy to presence. Can I teach you now a little bit? I don't know if you pray and your prayers are just so boring. You yourself can't even listen to yourself. So you put headphones in. And all the spiritual people are thinking, you don't want to hear any noise. The truth is, you don't want to hear yourself. So you put headphones in, right? So anyways, we get so silly when we pray, man. Like we talk to God and then all of a sudden we run out of words. And then we say, oh, I called that person's name already. Okay, I don't want to call him again. Praying for them twice is boring. You know. Like how many times can you guys pray for me? Tell me. Some of you probably never prayed for me. What? Yeah, you're supposed to. Even if you don't like me, good luck. Anyways, we have to learn how to move from this lethargic type, mundane, callous, mediocre type prayer. Father, I'm going to bed now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. And before you finish the sentence, you fall asleep. Because you have not learned how to move from prayer to presence. You have not learned how to move from lethargy to presence. The real secret of prayer is not prayer. The real secret of prayer is presence. Could you write it down, please? Pastor Tony, how am I doing this morning? Amen. Amen, preacher. Listen, the real secret of prayer is not prayer. The real secret of prayer is presence. You need to write it down. When you can pray and move beyond the veil, then you have entered in. Then you don't need to pray. Now you rest. Now you float in the presence. Now you commune. Now you're intimate. Now you're listening more than talking. Now you're hearing where what the Father desires of you and where the Father wants to lead you and what he wants to do. That's how prayer works. This religious Catholic prayer, God bless you. But you can only say the Hail Mary so many times. They even have a number of which you can stop. Anyways, let's not go down that road this morning. The time spent with God always, ladies and gentlemen, reflects on your character, because at some point you will be pulled into the presence of God where you will be face to face with God. In fact, when Moses was called to lead Israel, let me show it to you. In Exodus chapter 4, The Bible tells us that Moses had struggles with fear. He had struggles with impatience. Moses struggled with self-doubt. There were times that Moses even stood up and he asked God why. If you're still asking God why you don't know God, talk to me, somebody, say amen or ouch. Lord, why did this happen to me? Who do you think God is? A murderer? Why don't you ask God to deliver you instead of asking God why? You're so silly. The church is so silly. So silly. Lord, why did I have these pains in my back? Because you didn't lift the machine properly. Are you here this morning? Am I talking to the Y generation? X. You're asking God why? If you are still at the level of where you have to ask God why, you do not know the heart of God. You do not know the heart of God. Anytime I hear a Christian pray and say, why? I know he doesn't know who he is, and he doesn't know God either. Hold on. The Bible tells us that at some point, after Moses began to encounter God, he was invited into the presence of God. Where was he invited? God. This is where prayer should lead you. Prayer doesn't stop when you say amen. Prayer that doesn't lead you into the presence of God is just lethargy. I'm teaching you this morning. Please hear my heart. Exodus 34, 29 says this. And when Moses came from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of covenant of law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So what is that saying? It is saying that he had a visible transformation when he went into the presence of God, not when he prayed. Okay, if you're praying and you're not changing, you're not praying right. Prayer, the first level of the power of God that needs to affect you is the presence of God. If you are truly praying correct and your prayer leads you to the presence of God, transformation to your character, deliverance from your evil will start happening. You probably will be delivered from more things than you can ever imagine by praying right. You'll get delivered from lust. You'll get delivered from pornography. You might think, well, pastor has to cast the demon of sex out of me. No, idiot. You need it to make kids. You need a little bit of chutzpah. How am I doing, Uncle Johnny? It's a good thing I don't cuss. Yeah. No, but you need the lust to stop. And even though lust can be a spirit, lust can also be a confusion. I said, even though lust can be a spirit, lust can be an ignorance. And you know what I've learned from my own personal prayer life? I've learned that when my prayer takes me into the presence of God, I shine. I come out this little glittery young guy. Why do you think we're staying so young? We pray, bro. I know, you see this? Look how good, grandfather and all that. You know what I'm saying? I can float this around, Pastor Tony. Amen. Amen. I love it. Numbers 12:3 says, and now Moses was very humble, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Well, I got to let you know I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet, so be careful. Okay. So I might need to spend some more time in prayer, but the more I pray, I promise you one day I'm going to outshine Moses. Somebody talk to me. My point is this. You simply cannot spend time with God and remain the same. So where is the power? The power is not in the prayer. The power is in the presence. Where is the power? The prayer leads us to the presence. The power is not in the prayer. The power is where? It's in the presence of God. And I pray this morning that God's, your prayer time will lead you to the presence of God. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Now, so what's great about prayer is that there is a revelation in prayer. And that revelation can change your life. So prayer and the presence of God releases revelation. You get to see yourself face to face with God. And things just change, man. It's amazing. Everybody say amen. Amen. So if you're really praying, I pray that we will start seeing a lot more changes in your life. Amen. Now, power always comes from God. Everybody say amen. Where does power come from? God. Ephesians 3:20. Let's look at it. Very familiar scripture. I just want to break it down this morning. I hope you're learning something important about your prayer life. And man, you can get this message. It's going to be on a paid site someplace. I'm joking. Look at what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now unto him who is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that you can pray or think. Above all you can do what? What do you do in prayer? Good. So the power, it's telling you now, the power is coming from him. The prayer and the asking is yours. The thinking and believing is yours. But any power that's being released comes from the presence of God. It comes from God. So watch this. Look what it says here. Prayer is the channel, the means, the posture by which we connect with God and receive his power. But prayer itself does not generate power. It would be wrong for me to teach you that. So there is no power in prayer. There's power in your faith. Could you write it down? And there's power in his presence. So we learned this morning that there's power in my faith and there's power in his presence. But there's no power in your prayer. Your prayer becomes powerful when you have faith. You guys remember James 5? James 5:14 says this, if any amongst you sick, let him call for the elder of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith. Everybody said the prayer of faith. So pray with faith. But prayer itself has no power. Prayer is a means to get into the presence of God, and prayer is a means or a vessel to release the power. Do you understand this morning? I need to clean it up. Your faith has power. Now, let me take you one step further, and I'm going to bring it to an end. Since I got you at the edge of your seat, let's go. Now, a lot of people pray and wait on God to turn things around. Several of you lifted your hands. Thank God I didn't notice. And you wanted God to turn things around. Well, people who want God to turn things around pray something like this. God, please fix my situation. Father, provide for me. Lord, I pray for protection as I travel. Lord, change my circumstances. Lord, can you make things work out for my favor? Save my kids. Heal me. The problem with that kind of prayer, folks, is that you're praying from an Old Testament perspective. There's a great difference when you pray from the Old Testament and when you pray from the New Testament. In the Old Testament, prayer was conditional upon devotion. It was so funny because I was reading the prayer of Solomon, I think it's 1 Kings chapter 8 this week, and this is what led me to this whole prayer thing, because I was so intrigued by Solomon. And as I was studying Solomon, God woke me up to this message. So maybe next week I'll teach you on Solomon. No, not next week, sometime soon. What do I mean? Well, people pray appealing to God to intervene. But if you notice in the Old Testament, he only intervened when they met a certain condition. For example, Moses interceded for Israel during the plague, Exodus 32. But the point was that God's people relied on an intercessor, a mediator. We don't need an intercessor in our generation. We don't need a mediator. That ministry has ended. Because Jesus is now my mediator, my intercessor. He has made intercession for us. So Moses, the people would come to Moses and they would tell Moses, you know, we need this, we need food, we need water, we need this. And the reason that they did that is because no one person like you could go to God on its own, on their own. Nobody went to God in the New Testament. When the law came, nobody went to God. After the law, you had to go through an intercessor, a mediator. You had to go through the priest. You couldn't pray to God by yourself. God chose a man to be the mediator between man and God. So, watch this. They had to wait on God to turn things around. And that waiting was conditional upon if they met the conditions of the devotion. Did they live right? Did they live clean? Did they have clean hands and a pure heart? Those are all conditions for prayer. Did they follow the law? Did they obey? Did they do what God said? Did they love their neighbors? Did they plant when they were supposed to plant? Sow when they're supposed to sow? So there was always a condition. Jump on over this morning to Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, and let's break it down, and we're going to bring it to an end. I know I've been preaching for about an hour, but I need to get this out to you. In fact, sometimes God wouldn't meet their needs because they didn't meet the condition. Did you know that? God wouldn't meet their needs. He would say, hey, I can't do that for you because you didn't do what I told you to do. So look at this. Numbers. Look at what it says. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded, you see that word underlined, heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their father, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. What does that mean? It means they didn't meet the condition. So he's saying, he replies not with an answer, he replies with a disposition that says, I'm not going to do what you ask because you didn't meet my condition. So believers had to wait on God to act, and they had to prove that God should act by meeting the conditions. Do you know that famous scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, that's you, or Israel, who are called by my name, will do what? Condition. Everybody say condition. And pray. So there's a condition before you pray. And seek my face. And do what? Turn, condition. Everybody highlight that word then. Everybody highlight the word then. That's him saying, I have a condition. Anytime you read the Bible and you see the word then, it means condition. He says, I am not going to heal your land until you humble yourself, until you turn from your wicked way. We still quote that today. That doesn't work in the New Testament. That's not the New Testament. That's an Old Testament way of praying. God is not moving by condition under grace. That's too quiet because you still pray this prayer, don't you? Gotcha. Turn to somebody and tell him the wait is over. The conditions are over. And until you learn that, you're never going to get a breakthrough. Because some of you think because you sin, God won't answer you. Some of you think because you haven't been humble, God's not going to answer you. Some of you think because life is not good and you haven't been reacting to life properly, God is not going to answer your prayer. That's a lie. You are under grace. You are not under the law where condition was necessary. You don't need to pray and hope God will someday turn things around. You don't have to wait on God to answer your prayers. You don't need to beg God. You don't need to intercede for change. You don't even need to wait on God's timing. Have you ever heard that silliness? Oh, I'm waiting on God's timing. Stop it! You don't know your Bible and you don't know God. And let's get some people to admit it this morning. In the New Testament, Jesus already provided. Can you pop my text up, please? Let's see if you're going to tear it out of your Bible or just go back to the text. Text. Original text. 1 Peter. 2 Peter. As his divine power has given us all things. That, it's present tense, pertaining to life and godliness. And the way you understand that, where you receive it, is true knowledge. Text forward. What did God give you on the cross? Let's list a few things. Protection. Did you know that you are already washed by the blood of Jesus, sealed in the Holy Ghost, and have authority over the devil? Did you know that? What do you mean, protect me, when you have authority over the devil? What do you, please explain the English to me, because I didn't go far in school. And I know some of you can spell better and do math better, but I gotta let you know something. I read the Bible, and here's the funny thing, I believed it. What do you mean, Lord, protect me? Are you not washed in the blood? What do you mean, cover me with the blood? What do you mean? So you mean the washing left? You were unwashed? I plead the blood. Stop your nonsense. You are a weak believer. You don't read the Bible. And you need to start admitting you need to grow and come to church and learn. Finances. There are biblical principles for finances in the scripture. Use them. I teach them every week. For 40-something weeks, I've been teaching it. You taught it. Christine taught it. Others have taught it. Use the biblical principles. You'll get money. Deliverance. There are two types of deliverance. I'll preach on it soon. There's deliverance from darkness and there's deliverance from demons. Two types of deliverance in the Bible. One we call sozo, which is darkness, and one we call riding out demons. So deliverance from darkness is where he saved you and brought you into light. That doesn't mean he has delivered you from demons yet. You might still have issues in your life. Healing. Yeah. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripes you were already healed. The problem is you don't have it in your possession. And the reason you don't have that is because either somebody hasn't prayed with you or you haven't prayed with you. But God has, everybody say, God has already answered me. So the way it is, the wait is over. You're waiting for things to change in your life? Get in the Word. I said, get in the Word. Get in the presence of God. You don't need, God has already done these things. Listen, you by the way, can I say this? Because the Holy Spirit just dropped it. Don't wait for sin to change in your life. You need to turn away from sin. You need to turn. You need to stop sinning. God is not going to fix your sinful relationship and let the man leave his wife. You leave the man. Forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness is a guarantee. It's already done. You're already forgiven by his stripes, by the blood. Pastor, okay, how about this? Pastor, I'm praying for my son to be saved. Can I tell you something? Stop praying for your son to be saved. Please write this down. Stop praying for your son to be saved. Stop praying for your children to be saved. Cameraman, stop praying for your children to be saved. Here's what to do instead. Here's what to do. Are you ready? Here's what I need you to do. I need you to realize that your children need to recognize the love of God. Start praying for your children to recognize the love of God. Change your prayer. He already died on the cross for them. The Bible says it's his desire that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. You beat them like because you want to perish them. God already wants to save everybody on the earth. But guess what they don't know? They don't know how much he loves them. And when they discover the love of God, they will turn. The love of God, the Bible says, the goodness of God, Romans 2:4. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. I don't pray for souls anymore. I used to pray for souls. I stopped praying for souls. I pray that men's eyes would open to the love of my Father. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. It is finished. It is finished. Now my last statement to you is this. You don't need to wait on God to turn things around. Just stand firm in what he has already done. Apply your faith. Apply your faith when you pray. God, you love my kids. You love me. God, you want me blessed. Go to the Word and learn what he has done for you and stand on the Word and be unmovable and unshakable. Let your faith be built on the Word of God and the promises of God, not your fear, not your prayer life. On the Word, stop praying for things God has already provided for you and start believing you've got it. I said, start believing you've received it. Amen. And by the way, you have the authority and the power. Why don't you use it? I said, for goodness sake, why don't you start using it? You only wait till you can pray for somebody. Stop your nonsense. You can move mountains in your own life. Speak to the mountain and it'll get up and move. Stop being such a weak church. You are so powerful. You have all the giftings and the tools available to you. But you just absolutely refuse to believe it. Everything you could ever pray for has already been provided.